Welcome to Mayfield Baptist Church. We are very excited to have you with us here. We do encourage you to follow us on our social media, which you can access through our website at mayfieldbaptist.com. Please feel free to like and subscribe to this podcast to keep you up to date with our latest messages. We do hope you enjoy this recent message from MBC, that it may help you connect to God, grow in your faith, and serve in your own context.
Hey, you are there. Awesome. Yes, and we're looking forward to unpacking God's Word today and looking at some of our teaching texts. We've been looking at a series going through prayer and considering how do we pray to God. And today we're looking at the idea of praying for not yet Christians. A little bit of an update with preaching. This is our last message on prayer today, and then we're going to have a bit of an Easter focus. And then after Easter, we're going to be looking at the book of James. So if you'd like to read ahead, please feel free to go and have a look at James and read ahead as we unpack that book together after Easter. So to prepare us for our message today, I would like to just pose a little question to you. What do in life really brings you deep joy? What in life brings you joy? There are so many things in life that bring us joy, isn't there? Is anybody willing to share their thoughts with us? What in life brings you joy? You want to put the hand up, just share? Yep.
Sharing God's love with other people.
Yeah, great. Sharing God's love with other people. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah. Anybody else? What life brings you deep joy? Yep.
Making sad kids smile.
Oh, making sad kids smile. Yes, the smile of a child. That's awesome, isn't it? Anybody else? Yeah.
Watching my kids sing or make music.
Yes, so good. So good. Yeah.
Fishing.
Yes, fishing. I'm surprised no one says cricket or soccer, maybe. Trying. Oh, the back there. Okay, just hang on a second. Down the back. Come on. Come on. Here we go. Here's your moment.
Soccer and coffee.
Oh, that's it. Awesome. There are so many things that God has blessed us with, you know, and one of the things that I find in life is that often what brings us joy is others focused. It has a healthy others focused nature to it. You know, one of my goals in life is to help other people discover their God-given destiny. And when I see that happening in my life, it brings me joy and satisfaction because I know that I'm being true to my purpose. I'm true to where God is calling me. One of my greatest joys in life has been seeing other people put their faith in Jesus and being part of that process, God working through me and sometimes in spite of me to help others put their faith in Jesus. And as I've had sometimes the privilege of sitting with people and praying with people and seeing the lights turn on with them spiritually and realizing that they are forgiven, they're set free, seeing the message of grace move from their head to their heart and change their life. For me, that's been some of the greatest joys in life and a lot of the other things you've said as well. Today, we're looking at the topic of how to pray for not yet Christians. And as I consider about how I've gone about sharing my faith in my life, there's been times where I've done it well and times I haven't done it so well. But one thing stands out to me again and again is that the kingdom of God is deeply relational. It's about relationship. And where I've been most effective in sharing my faith has been times where I've walked with people, I've journeyed with people, and over time God has worked in and through me to help encourage them to put their faith in Jesus. Now, Jesus was deeply relational. That was his model. He invested in the few for the sake of the many. And today we're looking at a Bible verse where Jesus is sending out his followers, 72 of them, to go and seek people of peace, to seek people to share his message with. And before we jump into our text today, I'd like to have a bit of a look at the context of our passage. Next slide, please. So the context of our passage is we're going to be reading from Luke 10, but this is coming from Luke 9. And so in Luke 9, it's a little bit like if you're looking at a movie and the Gospel of Luke is a movie, Luke chapter 9 is about the middle of the movie and things are starting to build, tensions are starting to happen, there's starting to be some issues. And so in Luke 9, before we get to our text today, Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah, essentially saying, Jesus, you are the promised deliverer of your people. That's a really big revelation. There's this big high, Peter's confession, and then there's this big low that Jesus predicts his death. People are like, I thought you were the Messiah. You're going to die. And then there's this big high again. The transfiguration happens. Jesus reveals his glory. And they're like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe this. This Jesus guy is incredible. But then there is this Samaritan opposition. And the thing's starting to get difficult. And then Jesus is talking about the cost of following him. And it's not necessarily going to plan. And so in the context of this middle of the chapter, middle of the book of Luke, we find Luke 10. So if you have your Bibles with you, go to the next slide, please. Let's have a look at Luke 10, 1 to 12. After this, which essentially this is what I've just talked about in Luke 9, Jesus the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place that he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to go and send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, they will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the workers deserve his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. And so we have this picture of Jesus sending out 72 of his followers in a very relational way to go and bring and to be the good news ahead of Jesus. So next slide, please. Let's unpack this passage section by section. So the first section is, after this, the Lord appointed. And so this idea that Jesus has invested in 12 and then there's 72 people and he's appointed them, he's commissioned them, he's sent them out to go and to share the message of the king, the message of the kingdom. You know, and for us today, it's the same idea. You know, before we have a message to share, we are a people who are sent. Amen? We are commissioned by God. You know, there's a whole lot of reasons why people share their faith. And one of the best reasons is because Jesus has sent us. Jesus has commissioned us. He's asking us to be his light, to be and bring good news of the kingdom. There are lots of other good reasons as well, but that's one of the best ones. This idea of sending out 72. You know, Jesus had how many disciples? 12. But now he's sending out 72. So what does that say? To me, it says Jesus is investing in the few for the sake of the many. There essentially is a growing movement around him, and he's stretching them. He's challenging them to move out beyond their comfort zone, to go and be his representatives. He's preparing them for a time when he won't be there. He's preparing them to be able to stand on their own two feet, to be able to be his representatives. And he's definitely stretching them. He's definitely pushing them. And you know what? We here today are the beneficiaries of people like these 72 who had the courage to step up, to move out, to share the message of the king and the kingdom. And you know what? I'm sure it was hard. I'm sure that was stretched. But thanks be to God, they were obedient and they went forth. And he sent them out two by two. You know, this is also a great insight in our Christian life. You know, we're not lone rangers. Not just doing the Christian life alone, there is accountability, there's support, there's people around us, there's relationship. We are in partnership with the Lord and with one another. You know, if we're out on our own, if we're just like a single plant growing up without anyone around us, we're just going to wilter. You know, we have a whole group of believers around us to encourage us, to strengthen us on the journey. And then he sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Now, I find this fascinating. You know, essentially there's this partnership Jesus is partnering with the 72. They're going ahead of him. He's going to follow up from what they've done to go and visit after that. Now, a question for you. Okay, so the 72 are going out. Jesus is coming after them. But is God at work before the 72 get there? What do you think? Yeah. Although Jesus is coming afterwards, God is ahead of the 72. God's spirit is not constrained by time and space. He's already ahead of the 72, preparing people's hearts, preparing them to receive the message of the King. You know what? I find that a real encouragement. You know, because in this partnership, God's spirit is with us. And it's a partnering with the Spirit of God, with Jesus, to help people hear the message of the King and encounter the King themselves. Next slide, please. And so Jesus is moving out. Let's continue to unpack the text together. So when Jesus went out there, you know, the passage moves on, and the passage says this. Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." So this little passage here is like a reenactment of a parable called the parable of the what? Any ideas? Parable of the sower. This is like the parable of the sower in action. And Jesus is often using agricultural metaphors. To those people in that age, there's a lot of sowing, a lot of plants growing and harvesting is continuing. So Jesus is linking in to that memory, to that imagery. He's saying the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray that God would send out workers into the harvest field. And essentially, Jesus is sending out these people, like in the parable of the sower. Next slide, please. Let's read the parable of the sower together as we reflect on this passage. So in Matthew 13, here's what the parable of the sower says. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell amongst the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what had been sown. And Jesus went on to say, "Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed that was sown on the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, they stop believing. The seed falling amongst the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil." Everyone say, good soil. Good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now, these people going out, these 72, they're good soil. They've heard Jesus' message and they're responding. They're essentially they're multiplying. They're now going out to be like the sower, to throw out the seed of the kingdom to see where the seed lands and to see what it produces. They're looking for more good soil. And this is, I'm sure, for these 72, it was pretty confronting. You imagine going out there without Jesus, all of a sudden on your own, just with another person, knocking on someone's door and looking for a person of peace. It's pretty challenging. And Jesus owns this. In fact, he says, "Go, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves." Now, that doesn't sound very fun, does it? No way. It's not even saying, "I'm sending you out like a sheep amongst wolves." I mean, a sheep might at least have a chance. But lambs amongst wolves. And so Jesus is owning and acknowledging that this is actually going to be really hard. You're going to be a bit awkward. There might be some significant opposition. But it's okay. It's all right. Just continue to trust me. You know, when we're sharing our faith, when we're trying to be and bring good news, oftentimes we do encounter resistance. If you've ever tried to actually seriously share your faith, you'll notice that not everyone is interested. Not everyone cares. In fact, some people don't care and they don't want to hear. And you're a disruption to their life and they just wish you might go away. But that's okay, because not everyone is going to be receptive. Not everyone's going to be good soil. And that's just the part of what it means to be a Christian who's sowing the seed. There are some wonderful things about the Christian faith. So many good things. Forgiveness, God's unlimited mercy and grace, community, being forgiven of all our wrongs, being set free. So many good things. But you know what? There also is some hard truth in Christianity as well. Some hard truths about the brokenness of humanity, the sinfulness of the human heart, our need to seek forgiveness and be restored and reconciled to our loving Heavenly Father. Some of this stuff is hard news, and some people perceive it not as good news, but as bad news. And the temptation is almost to soften the message of Jesus, to try and dumb it down, to make it more attractive. But Spurgeon says this, "My dear brothers, don't try and make the gospel tasteful to a non-believer. Hide not the offense of the cross, lest you make it of no effect. The angles and the corners of the gospel are its strength. To pare them away is to deprive it of its power. Toning it down is not increasing the strength of the gospel, but the death of it." So there's this idea, we don't want to be offensive. Sharing Jesus, we don't want to be offensive, but some people will take offense. Some people won't be receptive, and that's okay. You know, and I'm encouraged that this idea of going, Jesus said, "I'm going you out as lambs amongst wolves." Okay, was everybody a wolf? Was every household they knocked on, was everybody a wolf? No, they weren't. In fact, the people going out were actually looking for people of peace. They were actually looking like for people who were receptive, who were open to their message. Next slide, please. Let's have a look at what the text says. "When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace on this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages, and do not move around from house to house." There's this idea of when you find a place where God's at work, when you find a place where God's peace is dwelling, stay there. Lean in, push into that relationship, because God is working in a relational way. God is at work through our relationships. Next slide, please. And it's the same for us today when we're going about being and bringing good news. Now, we're looking for people where God is at work. We're looking for opportunities. We're looking in conversations and relationships where people are leaning in. You know, I have a lot of confessions to make as a pastor, and one of them is that sometimes I've got into arguments about faith for the wrong reasons. I've tried to almost try and persuade people to try and win them over and almost like prove that I'm right. And I found that's pretty unhelpful. I find when I'm getting into an argument, actually, oftentimes God's Spirit's not there. And it's better for me just to listen, to come alongside, to ask good questions and to listen and to wait and to see if a person is peaceable, if they're a person of peace or not. You know, you can't force someone into the kingdom of God. It's a partnership. They've got to be open. They've got to be ready. They've got to be receptive to what God is doing. Next slide, please. And this is exactly what the parable of the sower is saying. You know, that they're looking for good soil. They're looking for people who are receptive to the message. Next slide, please. So how do we know when someone is a person of peace? How do we know if someone is open to the gospel? Well, there are some basic things here, and I think it's pretty simple. It's people who, after you've shared something about God's kingdom or a story of how you came to faith or something about your life which is of the kingdom, that they will like you, they will still listen to you, and they will serve you in some way. like, listen, and serve. Maybe you've got people in your life who are like that. You know, where they know you're a Christian, but they still like you. They know you're a Christian, but they still listen to you. They know you're a Christian, they've heard your testimony, but they're still willing to serve you in some way. These are people of peace. These, I believe, are people where God's peace is resting on that situation, that God is calling us to journey with them, to be relational, to come alongside, not to force, but to shine our faith. So what might this look like in 21st century Australia? Let's try and make it really practical and really simple. Well, I mean, this might look like if you're at university, you know, and you've been open about your faith. People know you're a Christian. Maybe they've even heard some positive remarks about church and Jesus. So they know that you're a person of the kingdom, but they still like you. They still listen to you and they still serve you. And then one of your conversations, you know, maybe something's happened in a person's world, some event or some sorrow or sadness, and they come back to you and say, look, I'm just wondering what you think about that. Or just, I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you did on Sunday when you went to church. Or thank you for how you cared for me when my mother died or when I had this problem in my life. That might be a person of peace. That might be a conversation where God is at work. Or it might look like when you're at work around at a really difficult work meeting and it's been super hard, there's been a lot of negativity, that you haven't bought into that. You've remained positive. And after the meeting, a work colleague comes and says, look, thank you for remaining positive. Thank you for, you know, not just sinking into that negativity. That might be an opportunity where God is at work to lean into that. That might be a person of peace. Now, we've really got to be alert and open to what God is doing, really perceptive to the movement of His Spirit. You know, God is working through our relationships. The question is, are we alert to that? Are we ready? One of the best ways to share something of the kingdom is simply by sharing our story and our testimony of what God has done in our own life. A perfect question for you is that if a situation arose where you needed to share your story about the difference Jesus had made in your life, would you be ready? Could you do that in 3 minutes? Could you share about the difference Jesus has made? This is why prayer is so important. Because unless we have an active relationship, an active prayer life, then what do we have to share? Unless we have a story of the difference that Jesus has made in our life and that we are a living Bible, a living truth of the difference that makes, then it's very difficult to share the good news of Jesus. And so I've actually been quite confronted this week as I've looked at this passage. Before I can preach, I've got to confront the reality of my own life and ask myself the question, am I a person who prays for people of peace? Am I looking for opportunities to share my faith? And sometimes, to be brutally honest, I've done that okay. And sometimes in my life, I haven't. And the last few months has been a season where I've been pretty distracted, where I've had a lot on, and really the looking at to share the gospel hasn't been a high point on my radar. But looking at this text today, I've realized that I've actually got to change that. I've got to come back to this again and again to be praying regularly, for praying for opportunities to share my faith, praying for people of peace, that I would perceive what God is doing and be willing to step in those places, realizing that God is already at work around me. Amen? God's already at work. But are we alert to His movement? Are we sensitive to His Spirit? Are we investing in a relationship with Jesus so that when the opportunity comes to share, we have something to share? And I'm asking these questions of myself. I'm going, I've got some work to do. But that's okay. It's okay because we serve a great God. It's okay because it's not about me. It's about Him. It's okay because in church, I can be honest and I can be real with you. And I'm still a work in progress. And it's okay because this message is not about trying to inspire you to share your faith. It's actually about coming to our Father and being real with Him because I can't preach an inspiring message about sharing your faith. It's not my job to do that. It's the Spirit's job to convict us, to inspire us. It's got to come from here, not from here. And so I guess as we come to the end of this message and just come to tie up this series about prayer, I'd just like to create a bit of space for us to come to God, to be honest with Him, to be honest about our relationship, to be honest about our prayer life. Create space to pray for our non-Christian friends. To ask the Spirit to come and touch our lives. And so as we come to this space, just invite the music team to come up to the stage today. And if you wouldn't mind, just play a bit of music in the background, guys. That'd be great. Thank you. And let's make some space. How do we pray for people of peace? But first of all, we need to be people of prayer. Then we need to pray the Lord would send out workers in the harvest field. Then we need to thank God that He's already at work before us. And then I think we need to pray that we would be alert to His movement of His Spirit, attentive to people of peace around us. So let's spend some time now in prayer, just coming honestly before our loving Heavenly Father.